Oh God. Oh my God.
One of these days, I'll give you an episode where you can just say whatever you want.
It'll just be a talk about hot dogs.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I almost got a hot dog tattoo yesterday.
Fuck yeah.
I was just up at the punk rock flea market and I was just talking to the tattoo artist lady there, and she was just doing like flash shit and she didn't have any hot dog ones, but I talked to her and I almost got, and I'm working on this now for later because I've expanded it since this morning or last night, but I'm going to get a hot dog, like an anthropomorphic hot dog. Maybe Sean will draw this out for me. Like with a ketchup bottle or like condiment bottle, just squeezing it out so it like arcs out. But then there will be a second hot dog in front of it, just getting splattered on the chest. I'll put that right here on this bicep. And then over on this one, I'm going to get a third hot dog who just looks horrified at the situation. So when I give him one of these, it's just like, ugh, sex show. Ugh. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That paper's got to go.
I know. I'm getting it off like the cheese and everything.
Make sure to eat directly into the microphone.
I will. Oh, I tipped it up so that way you wouldn't have to hear it. I'm just not going to talk for like 6 minutes.
I'm just muting you for a little bit.
Wait, we've had that option the whole time?
Yes, we have this power.
Does he always make it this clear in advance when you're going to want to mute him?
No.
No.
Yeah, bummer.
I get some cues every once in a while. I'm like, All right. So USS Indianapolis, : Men of Courage.
Speaking of colons, welcome back to Cage Match, : a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. Nick's good. Muted. He can't complain.
Good enough.
I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host.
Nick, I'm Nick.
And our producer.
Peter, hello.
You can mute him again.
That's true.
And our special guest this week, welcome, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron, how do we know you?
Well, I do live next door to Peter. But more importantly, he came to an event I run periodically called Shark and Whiskey Night, which made him believe I just might have something to offer on a podcast about Nicolas Cage and a lot of sharks.
Yeah, this is his only shark-related movie, as far as I know. I mean, he has a lot of back catalog that we haven't gone through, but it seems like this is the only time that he would have encountered a shark.
Has he been to an aquarium in any other film we've seen?
I mean, it seems like something that would have been in Stolen, but no, he didn't.
Thanks for unmuting me.
You're welcome. You're back in action. Now eat that sandwich right on mic. Mm. Describe it for us.
It's a sausage, egg, and cheese on an everything bagel purchased from the bagel shop next to my house.
Fantastic. It's too many things on a bagel.
But it's three.
That's not everything.
Yeah. Now you're muted, Sean.
Yeah, fuck off, dude.
Words have meaning.
Okay, so USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage. I actually had not even realized this was a movie that he was in, let alone anything about it.
I'm sure I've seen the cover for this film without paying attention to like it too closely and thought it was Battleship.
Oh,
remember yeah. Battleship?
Yeah, that was weird.
That is weird that they made a movie out of that.
It has to do with aliens.
Strange.
Like, why not just make Tetris at this point?
Didn't they do that? Aren't they doing that?
I'm sure at some point they will.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for Operation.
Like, oh, yeah.
Some guy's got a bomb or something inside of him, and water Keanu Reeves has to, like, yeah.
His funny bone's going to explode.
Yeah.
And they bury the placenta at the end.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah.
And then a tree grows.
So, wait, did you bury a tree seed with it?
No. Apparently, doing a placental burial is, like, not always the best for trees. So you're supposed to let them sort of enrich the soil,
like,
before.
What happens if you plant a tree with it? Does it like grow like extra limbs? Does it become this like Lovecraftian horror?
Absolutely. And it calls everyone daddy.
Mm. Is it just sort of like a Full Metal Alchemist situation?
Absolutely. It's that just like homunculus goop person.
Edward.
Homunculus Goop is my next D&D character.
It's a good character name.
Homunculus Goop is like your sex life.
Ew. So Aaron.
Oh, I wish I didn't laugh at that. I'm going to cry now.
I'm glad you did it. It took the sting out of my words.
Yeah.
No, I enjoy a good burn.
You had seen this movie before, correct, Aaron?
I had not.
Oh, I thought you had.
No, oh, in fact, when movies like this come up, as they do when you consider it your purview to pay attention to shark movie releases, when you realize it's based on a true story, you pretty much immediately throw it out and say, this is not the right kind of movie for Shark and Whiskey Night. There's a kind of self-seriousness that we're not really going for.
Yeah, there's not. Event. I assume there's not enough, like, what has man wrought in these films to justify, like, the shark attacks.
Correct.
Now,
correct.
The level of CGI, though, is probably about on par with many of the ilk of Shark and Whiskey Night.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty near the median in that regard, aside from some of the sea movies that just have 1995, you know, Kid Pigs graphics.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. We keep throwing around the word Shark and Whiskey Night with no context. I mean, there's context there, but you want to explain this a little more?
Yeah, give us a little more detail.
I do like the idea that everyone just has to imagine what that means. Mm. But yeah, the gist is really just an event that started out as a group of friends watching shark movies, obviously quite bad shark movies, and making and drinking whiskey drinks. And it managed to take on a bit of a life of its own. We've had maybe 35 or so events that now we rent out a theater and put together a little production for folks. And one of the things that brings in new people and helps them kind of become a part of it is that we run shark trope bingo, in which we help draw attention to an audience engagement with the fact that these movies tend to hit on some familiar themes.
So this shark bingo card that I've got here, that's not specific to this movie. It actually existed without this movie.
It existed independent of this movie. It sometimes gets a one or two category changeover, but of the 24 categories, you know, 22 or so remain constant from movie to movie, mm-hmm. and reliably generate bingos at the type of movies we choose to screen. This movie could be a different story.
Yeah. I have some questions about the card. What is cream?
Oh, well, there's also the bingo key. That's the other image. Yeah.
Cream is it's a Wu-Tang song. Oh, casual is everything around me. Yeah. Yeah, you may be familiar with the trope that sometimes greedy developers, oil drillers, even people running a major local tourism event don't want the flow of money to stop and are willing to expose people to shark-related danger.
Ah, like keeping the beach open. Gotcha.
Very much so.
Okay.
Explain breasts to me. No.
Ah, slowly.
Yes. Yes.
Sensually.
Often a precursor to the cream. Yeah. Okay, I got a question. If you could take a non-shark movie and add a shark into it for maximum effect, maximum shark and whiskey, where would you put the shark? Like, one shark, where?
That's great. That's a really great question that I don't have a great answer ready for. So I'm going to ask for a little help from the hosts here, which is to say, for the event, the ideal thing would be to take a shark and put it into a movie that famously features whiskey. Mm, can anyone okay. help me with a piece of cinema that famously features whiskey?
Lost in Translation.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas is also a good choice.
Leaving Las Vegas is a great choice for this podcast. I actually, yeah, I would say Lost in Translation is both like a college-aged favorite film of mine and one that I do still strongly associate with Suntory whiskey.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think I want to be in charge of choosing where the shark goes into Lost in Translation, but I do want it to be there.
Just somewhere in the bed.
Sure. Maybe in the karaoke room.
Yeah. A shark doing karaoke.
I say we just replace Scarlett Johansson with the shark. What do you think she whispered to him at the end?
I'm a shark. I was always a shark. I would go Color Out of Space and I'd put the shark in the well.
Oh, ooh, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
And then just at the very end, for some reason, a shark eats the boy and then disappears. Good shark involvement.
I would say Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's just one of the Oompa Loompas.
But where's the whiskey?
Oh. I mean, fucking Willy Wonka was he was sauce for sure.
I was thinking about this on the way over, and if I had to do a non-whiskey movie, I think I would do that what's it called, like 128 hours, I don't know, the one where
28
the rock-
days later.
No, the one with the rock climber who's stuck.
Except
just
stuck
put the shark. Just put the shark under him. Added element of danger.
Yeah, the extra danger.
Now it's like, do I gonna get cut him? My arm free and fall into the shark, or do I sit here and?
Oh, so he's like rot. Pinned and hanging.
Yeah, no, it's that true story. Like,
no, I remember that part. But he was like sitting on the ground and stuck. But...
Well, I mean, he could be stuck in any manner of ways. It's our movie now.
Yeah, right.
The fact that it's that hard choice between the two. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware that in the last 2 weeks or so, Donald Trump at one of his rallies had a nice rambling aside about sharks. And he basically was just told the story that made no sense with no context about how, because of new electric greenwashed boat stuff, you might have to choose between getting eaten by a shark and getting electrocuted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if an electric boat goes down, you like stay in the boat and get electrocuted.
And he's like, which one? Which one would you do? Would you get eaten by the shark or electrocuted?
I guess I would just turn my boat off.
Also, and your thing about James Franco gets pinned under a rock, I'm rooting for the shark.
Oh, sure.
Based on what we know about James Franco now.
Well.
And we know that once he falls in the water, there's danger because it would be blood in the water. And that's what sharks love.
Yep.
As shark we learn fact. Often in USS Indianapolis.
You know, do you think the sharks would have shown up if it weren't for the irony of those guys like being freaked out by sharks?
Yeah, I think
sharks
that
love
them.
Irony.
I mean, it's in the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. irony content.
That was a good one. I like that. Keep that in, Peter.
Boo.
They're all going downhill from here.
You know I'm keeping it in. So yeah, before you got here, Nick, we were talking about like, it seems insane to me that there were that many sharks in the water when the boat goes down. Like, one, they were just massive torpedo explosions and a giant fucking ship going down. And all the sharks are just like, let's go see.
Yeah. It is weird that they were kind of pedestrian onlookers in this situation. But I could see like one shark showing up and then more following. Like, you know, you get the whole frenzy thing. You get that.
Right.
You know, shark calls his buddies.
Yeah. On his shark phone.
Yeah. Known families of sharks, you know.
Should we talk?
Do sharks use flipper phones?
Jesus.
This is what happens when you get us out of regular records.
I know. These bonus episodes are always weird.
Should we actually maybe talk about what this movie is?
Yeah, let's give it a quick rundown. Aaron, as our guest, you get the honor of summarizing.
Okay. There's an important mission to deliver, I believe, the atomic bombs across the Pacific. Our valiant crew on a ship helmed by Nicolas Cage does so. It's all off the record, hush, hush. They don't have an escort or sonar. On the way back, they get torpedoed by the Japanese Navy. The ship goes down. The men go down. They float around a bunch. There are a lot of sharks. Some men get eaten. And then there's 30 minutes in with no sharks, and I just really blacked out for that. Someone else might have to fill in.
No, that pretty much sums it up.
You pretty much got it, yeah.
Tom Jane's in there at one point.
Yep, with a really nice mustache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom Jane, famously from shark movie Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
LL
Cool J co-star, Tom Jane, as I like to call him.
So Sean also pointed out that this was produced by Patriot Pictures, and it turns out that there's a lot of things that they produced that Cage was in, actually. So it was Lord of War, USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, Tokarev or Rage, Prisoners of the Ghostland, and there was one other one, but anyway, it doesn't matter. A lot of shit that they produced for him.
That was a lot of shit.
Yeah, and a lot of shit, right?
I want a shark in Ghostland.
That'd be good. Yeah, no whiskey in there, though.
Yeah.
Just a sand shark.
Yeah, nice.
There is a movie, Sand Sharks, in which the sharks can travel through the sand.
That's good.
A lot of people
are they just
on the beach.
Tremors, then?
That's a great question. The physics of it were not, or metaphysics of it, were not fully explained in this movie, believe it or not.
There was no shark scientist explaining that?
I was several whiskeys deep, so I cannot confirm or deny.
They should get Stanley Tucci in there.
Absolutely. Everyone should have Stanley Tucci in there. He's great. My experience with Shark and Whiskey Night, I went and we watched The Meg 2, which was fantastic. You really have to experience these things to enjoy the bingo, because it's just people screaming at a screen anytime one of the tropes comes up on their card.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's mayhem.
I'm very enthusiastic about screaming at things.
Good. Yeah. You'd fit in.
Inanimate objects, walls, TVs.
It's that DiCaprio meme of like pointing at the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Willing to scream something five times to get a laugh once.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many episodes of this have we done?
This will be 70.
Still chasing that first laugh.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. I mean, we got our laughs.
I make myself laugh.
Yeah.
I listen to these things. I'm like, that's funny, Passion.
Yeah. Good work, me. So my big beef with this one is it's pretty self-serious overall. I mean, it's a serious matter. It's not like a joke movie or anything, but like, it's not a fun Cage performance for me, because he's just being a stoic captain of a ship.
He gets a little weirdness at the end, but that's just dehydration and hallucinations.
Oh, I thought you meant when he killed himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's wacky, not loopy.
Good point.
So,
I mean, I don't know if we mentioned this is based on true events.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the whole like final act of this film is Cage's character being scapegoated for the whole thing. And like, what is the thing?
Court-martialed.
And then he just skips ahead to him like offing himself.
Yeah.
We get some mad phone calls in the night
because he has a listed phone number.
It was the '50s. I don't know.
Yellow pages or white pages existed. And yeah, there were less people. There are probably only like 7 yeah, phones.
Yeah, you just keep trying. Is it 8? Nope. Okay. 9? Yeah.
Oh, we got him. All right.
My main issue with this film is there are too many fucking characters.
Well, and also like the cast is not very good.
No.
I mean, this movie didn't have a crazy budget, $40 million. It made no money. But like the cast is kind of shitty. You've got Cage and you've got
Tom Sizemore.
And Tom Jane before he's anything. Later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like there's the whole subplot of the two friends, one of which who's in love with this girl. He's been in love with his whole life. Who's like the daughter of a senator.
He's a judge.
Yeah. And then his best friend like meets her and they fall in love and he's going to propose. But then they get into a fight with some other sailors and it doesn't happen. Honestly, I couldn't tell the two of them apart in any fucking scene.
Oh, one of them's skinnier and more cracky. He's the one who dies.
Yeah. No, I mean,
D'Antonio, the like Italian meatball from New York character, yeah, right? But like, as opposed to Bama, the Southern boy.
They're also
Matt
just
Lanter.
They're also generic that I just, and because it keeps cutting between so many characters, mm-hmm, I just lose track of who anyone is and none of their stories matter. So I'm just like, why? Why is this happening?
Yeah, this is not what a good ensemble looks like.
No. I mean, their stories matter in terms of giving you perspective and like making you feel and identify, or that's what it should be doing.
That's what it should be doing, it, but it doesn't.
But if you cut that out, you just get a ship sinking and sharks and then cut to.
That's what end. I wanted.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that.
That would have been a better
That's
film.
Like a 5-minute scene. They did do a pretty good Titanic with the guy falling off the top of the ship as it was sinking. Yeah. And then he didn't hit the propeller. He hit something else.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable. I like a good callback to that.
No, just like this. The CG in this film
was
is
rough.
So rough.
Yeah. It's
especially
bad.
that first scene where the Indianapolis is being attacked by kamikazes. And just like, oh, this all looks like Xbox 360 era, like cutscene bad.
Yeah. Those when the suicide torpedoes go, the chitin,
yeah,
they're really silly. They it's just, when did this movie come out?
2016.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude,
you really can't grade on very much of a curve here.
No, it's definitely like early 2000 CG.
Yeah. But then there are moments where it's like it doesn't look terrible.
Sure. Like, when they're like inside the ship and there's no,
it's filmed
CG.
Well,
it's filmed well. No, yeah. I mean, there's some CG that's like less awful. Like whenever a shark fin goes by someone, I'm like, that's passable.
Well, okay, let's talk to the expert then. So regarding specifically the shark related stuff, how do you think this kind of stacks up? And that's, you can put it between two shark movies in terms of quality, if that helps.
Oh, between two sharks.
I mean, in terms of the shark related stuff, it's below every shark movie because the movie did not focus nearly enough on the sharks. The most interesting characters in the movie should be sharks. And among other things, they were basically only filmed from above water the entire time, which is really a waste. You're passing up like the shark point of view shot.
I was very disappointed in no POV.
Yeah, like seeing the shark like swim near someone's legs and then divert and get some, like there's just so much there. Once you recognize the shark should be the star of your movie, and they entirely whiffed on
the reticle, the shark crosshairs as he hones in on you.
I do love just the language of low budget shark film of just man treading water, suddenly man is underwater.
I did love like the shots of like the people just getting pulled in.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, you're gone. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they did do these little jolts of blood and excitement.
Yeah.
And they even did one classic towards the end. They finally had their first amputation by shark, which is on the bingo board. And I respect that they went there.
Yeah. Because the chaplain or whatever that guy's role was, he was hugging his leg for quite some time.
Indeed. Get one of the more tender relationships in the movie.
Yeah. That's where the feelings come from.
I do love that they use the same
man and
bad CG shark coming up on the raft twice.
Oh, yeah. Listen, man, if you make a good shot, you just do it again. No one's going to notice.
Also, those rafts sucked.
For real. What the fuck? Those rafts are terrible.
I was thinking that for a while, and then I was like, you know what? Those rafts aren't going to like sink if it's punctured.
True.
No, I mean, there's stuff to it.
You can stack so many of them in the ship because there's no like bottom portion. It's just like a foam ring with cargo netting inside of it. So
it's bad for sharks.
It's bad for sharks, but it's good for people and ships.
No. This is all about intended function, right?
Yeah.
It's meant to keep you from drowning.
Yeah.
It's not meant to keep you safe from sharks, and not even really that safe from hypothermia, since a lot of your body will be
still underwater intermittently.
I love how they're so freaked out about sharks, but they're all just chill, just like dangling their tootsies in the water the whole film.
I would have expected more like fighting for the handful of spots where you could keep your body above water.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But some good discipline.
What
military
happened to the commander who like just fucked off to the, there's an island over there.
Oh, he totally was just hallucinating.
Yeah. I know, but I wanted
rode like, out and just died.
I wanted to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. He was kind of a shit commander.
Little racist fuck. Like he sucked.
He is the character who you expect to die dramatically in a shark movie to be punished for his obvious moral failings.
Right.
And
the fact that it didn't happen on screen is really another missed opportunity.
Yeah,
they should have just shown his floating corpse somewhere.
Well, again,
just
because
baking
I
in
can't.
The sun.
Well,
just
because
give him dysentery.
I can't.
Oh, yeah. He just shits himself to death.
Well, again, because of the glut of actors and characters in this film, there's later just another rant. There's just another blonde guy like on a raft kind of floating by himself dying. I'm like, is that the same guy? I don't think it was.
Well, right. And they like, so the other arc is that there's like the racist white guy who gets saved by the black guy that he's been a dick to this whole time. And then they become buddies and they find their other buddy, but it's not really him. And it's like, what weird fake out bullshit was, who fucking cares?
I like the one guy who wrote smut and his book survived.
Yeah, that's the one that he's talking about. So, right. Like, you get the fake out death where it's like, oh, he's got the book. It's our buddy Timothy. No, it's just some dude with his head chomped off. And
but we'd already seen the guy with the book earlier a couple times.
That's so you can get the fake out.
But there was like a shark attack or whatever. He had given his book to that other guy.
He was already with the captain, though. It's just so sloppy.
It was really hard to track these characters. Yeah. Again, partly because they weren't that distinct and you didn't actually care about them
like,
at all.
We could have boiled it down to like four principal characters and just followed them.
Significantly.
Rather than trying to give everyone equal screen time.
Yeah, like all the stuff, the backstory for Tom Sizemore's character, he just had a baby boy that he's never met because he's in the military.
I forgot about that.
Right. And, you know, he's sitting there in the raft holding his leg lovingly.
I liked his pigeon. He's got his lucky dove of courage.
I was watching this on 1.75 speed, so I probably missed that like three frames where there was
a
pigeon.
You
there was
a pigeon. Really kicked it up.
There was a pigeon in there for a minute.
I needed to. Well, for me, it was a lot less than a minute.
Are you just training yourself to understand like really fast talkers?
Yes.
Like you're just slow. Well,
this I'm going to be incrementally.
Yeah.
This is so he can edit us quicker.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I could do that. I could do double time.
So watching at 1.75, did you catch the really dramatic foreshadowing moment where as Nick Cage asks for escort for this dangerous mission and they reject it, they have these giant great white shark jaws on display and they're like both framed by these jaws.
Yeah.
Really, really subtle foreshadowing.
Yeah, the subtlety. It was a little, it was a fast subtlety for me, but I caught it still. Okay. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Again, sharks are drawn to irony.
Oh, God, this movie. I liked it more than I thought I was going to, but it's still pretty fucking bad.
It's not terrible.
No, it's an enjoyable watch. It's just got flaws.
Yeah.
So while we're picking up the go ahead.
What was the quote you were going to found? Yeah,
one of the reviews is someone for RogerEbert.com. Consensus of the film was not exactly unwatchable, but also completely not worthy of watching.
I think that's a fair assessment.
So this is fundamentally a period piece, right? It's a reenactment. It's set in, this is 1945, right?
Yep.
And so if there's anything people, I assume, enjoy, it's getting extremely pedantic. But in a period piece, I expect things to try to be like loosely of the time. And yet early on, as they're getting us really invested in these characters and, you know, this bromance between Bama and D'Antonio and the girl they both love, I think it's D'Antonio is trying to get his buddy's courage up. And he utters the phrase, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I know. In my head, I heard that and I was like, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Sorry,
so this is a quote that isn't even real. It's apocryphally attributed to Wayne Gretzky in like the 1980s and is really only famous because it became the Office meme about 20 years after that. And even beyond the fact that, yeah, this is a famous quote from 40 plus years later, I'm not even sure that math education in the 1930s and 40s would have included percentages and like following pro sports and describing shooting percentage as a thing that you would track or be interested in. That is a heck of a,
yeah, it's a bit
thing
of a
to bring in.
Antonio also seems like an idiot. Yeah. So.
He's got those sweet dance moves though.
He does from the city.
Yeah.
And those girls caught on real fast.
Taylor,
he's like, I'm going to teach them how to dance.
I like how he did like the run up in like the slide under the girl's dress.
Oh, man.
I like how this is all happening in the judge's house and he's not shutting it down. That would make so much noise, them stomping around and dancing.
He did tell his house servant to tell them to turn that racket down.
Yeah. I expected him to be firmer.
So D'Antonio dies and his buddy does get the girl at the end.
Yeah, Bama.
He gets to become a he sneaks baby daddy in. To her.
Yeah, because yeah. She's like, pregnant. That's right. As soon as I found, like she said, like, I'm having, you know, the other man's baby. That's when I texted you both. I'm like, this fucking movie.
Had to tie it all together.
And then the gambling addict guy, he's like, oh, he's a better man than me. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Who are this movie? These characters are so dumb.
And the only reason I ever recognized him is because he had glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a notable trait.
Yeah.
Yeah. White guy glasses. Ooh, gambling problem. Okay. Got it.
I'm impressed you even tracked that at the end when they had, you know, he returned the ring, right? And then made this commentary. I'm like, oh, this is all supposed to be like tying up some arc, but I haven't followed this arc at all. This means nothing to me.
Well, and then just the whole, so of the people who have an actual story is Bama and D'Antonio, and D'Antonio dies off screen. Like they get rescued.
No, he dies
in the boat.
So he gets bitten and then he dies in the boat. Like very, they're just sitting there. And like, then all of a sudden he's
slowly,
like, he's Mike, D'Antonio, don't leave me, buddy. You know,
but that's when he was like hallucinating. And then later he's like, you know, take care of her for me. And he's like, you're going to be okay. And then we don't ever see them again until they're in the hospital.
Well, that's true.
So like, it's just like, it's such a wet fart of an ending for that story.
Yeah. Everybody's individual stories suck. There's not a good individual story except for Nicolas Cage's.
Yeah.
Because he's just doing, you know, the best he can. He tries the most for his people and then he gets fucking lambasted at the end and just shoots himself.
Japanese.
Japanese
shows up to
captain
be like
was pretty cool
the
too.
Surprise
was,
witness.
Yeah. Hashimoto. Yeah. He was sweet.
Also, I love his story of just like talking to the ghost of maybe his father, just old Japanese.
Yeah, I was curious. Was that the emperor?
Were there subtitles for those scenes? Or
yes.
Yes.
Ah, not for me. So I just was like, Japanese. Got it.
Yeah, the family the Blu-ray honoring. Is rife with subtitles.
Okay. I mean, I watched the whole movie in with subtitles. It just didn't bother. It didn't deign to give the Japanese characters any subtitles.
Hmm.
Similar to when we watched The Meg 2, where there was a ton of Mandarin and no subtitles.
The first time I watched the Wolverine movie, the one with Silver Samurai.
Yeah.
I had watched a copy that I downloaded and there were no subtitle tracks. And I was like, wow, this is a lot of Japanese that's not getting explained to me.
So Kong X Godzilla has this whole subterranean culture of like a lost tribe. And they have this whole history that tells the whole history of like Kong and like all the monsters. And instead of just giving them subtitles, they're also psychic. So they could just project these thoughts into the main characters. But the sexy white lady scientist just decodes their entire language in 5 minutes and tells the story for them.
I'm amazed they didn't make that a guy.
Now the guy was cool and wore a Hawaiian shirt and gave Kong a robot hand.
Oh fuck yeah, I want to see this movie.
I love this fucking film.
I'm sold now. Yeah.
At one point King Kong uses a monkey to hit another monkey.
That's a pro move.
And then uses another monkey to hit both those monkeys. He nunchucks a baby monkey.
I mean, as it should be.
I mean, why doesn't he just swing his big ass dong around and fucking
King Dong
mess him up? Also, why isn't there more King Kong dick in these movies? Like, he would have to have an enormous hog.
I think, don't, like,
you would
some great apes, like, notoriously have tiny hogs.
Yeah, but he's giant. Yeah, it would still be the size of a car. It's like a Volkswagen Beetle.
It's all about scale, though. He's so big, you still don't see it.
I would see a fucking Volvo swinging around above my head if he was attacking the city. I'd be like, oh, shit, giant. Wow. Okay.
Respect.
Cool. And then he just grabs the world's largest frog and goes to town on it. Call back to one of our first episodes.
That's true.
Oh, God.
What I'm hearing here is that when a movie understands how to use its creatures more effectively, the movie is more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah, if these sharks had huge ass dicks, I would have been all about it.
What does a shark dick look like?
No, they have two dicks.
I don't think so. They're fish.
So as not a shark expert, just a shark movie expert, everything I know about shark science is like a sort of conglomerated canon of like this alternate shark universe in which shark scientists say things, many of which contradict each other. I've never heard anyone say they have two dicks. I've also never heard anyone say they don't have two dicks.
That's science.
So we're at least a coin toss here.
Okay. 50-50, two dicks.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, here's an important plug. Why do sharks have two penises? Oh, no. Here's a subtitle. What is a clasper?
So in college, I went to art college, and my science class was called Bad Science at the Movies, where we would watch ostensibly like bad shark movies. And my teacher would just fast forward through these movies to like the science, the fake science shit, pause it, and then just rant at us about how that was just the dumbest thing they'd ever heard.
Now, I don't want to be like,
it was amazing.
That would have captured my attention.
It was
at that
a great
age.
Class.
Yeah.
My final our final project was we had to create like a treatment for a bad science fiction movie with bad science and like create a poster for it. Mine was Gator Kane starring David Hasselhoff and William Shatner. This was 3 years before Sharknado was a thing. Someone owes me money.
Which I still think you need to write so you don't get that stolen.
It's already been stolen.
Well,
hey, rewrite it. Write it as Gator Kane and Abel.
Yeah, it's a morality tale.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm still just shocked that you went to an accredited school when I hear these stories. It's like, that's your science class?
Yeah.
Literally?
Mm-hmm. I have a degree. It's in drawing shit, but it's an accredited degree.
I have a degree in doodles.
Yeah.
I get it.
Now I'm a web developer.
Grain of salt.
With a minor in disproving bad movie science.
Aaron, have you seen The Core?
I have not.
Oh, Lord. I don't believe there are any sharks in that. There are some whales, but
magma shark.
It is incredible.
Lava sharks. That's a movie. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, that tracks. Do they swim in the lava?
Yes.
Are they made of lava?
Unclear.
Do they just have thicker skin?
Yeah. Probably something prehistoric or the result of some experiment gone wrong.
Yeah. That seems like often is the case.
I'm curious as to what everyone's like favorite shark movie thing is, like either from a movie or a fact about a shark movie.
I don't watch a lot of shark based cinema.
That must have been embarrassing for you to admit.
Yeah, in this in present company. Yeah.
What about shark based skinema?
Yeah.
Ooh, they have two claspers.
Clearly, I've been missing out on a whole series of pornography. But I still think my favorite shark in film is the one from Zombie, because just a zombie fighting a shark is a great, great premise for me.
I think the thing I enjoy most is trying to figure out what kind of atypical shark we're going to end up with, because the shark is virtually always an atypical shark, right? It's been genetically modified. It's prehistoric. It's in a place where sharks shouldn't be. And I just love the clues they're dropping and your mind churning, trying to say, in what way is this shark going to be an absolute freak that deserves a movie about it?
Three claspers.
That would do it.
They just spin around like a propeller and that makes him go faster.
That's how they fly.
Kicks it into turbo, gets a little triple boner, and
yep, there you go.
My favorite
hydroplanes across the ocean.
Backwards. My favorite shark movie fact is from Jaws 3D. Michael Caine later in life being asked if he'd ever seen Jaws 3D, and his response being, "No, but I saw the house it bought and it's glorious."
So speaking of like comments about sharks, at the end they have these real little clips of these people that experience this and live through it. And you know that one of the questions that they asked was like, how do you feel about sharks now? And then the old dude is just like, don't like them.
Fucking hate them.
Still hate those things. It's like, yeah, dude, took your fucking leg off and ate your friend.
Yeah.
No, I like to go check them out. I really squared that with sharks.
I know I mentioned this before, but I was talking to John last night and we were talking about the Indianapolis. So our friend John, his ex-grandfather-in-law, so his ex's grandfather, was on the Indianapolis, and they have misspelled his name in the memorial.
Oh, whoa.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to just fact check a name. Lazy.
I don't know if it's misspelled like in the film or like the actual,
like on a monument somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's that one.
Pretty bad.
Which is a lot harder to correct. Well, I guess once the film's out, that's a lot harder to correct because you've got physical distributed media.
Yeah, sorry, we're going
to
do a recall.
No, some dude just comes to my house every time I put the Blu-ray in and like runs a piece of paper with the corrected name up the screen as it goes by.
Hey, that's job security right there.
There's only one guy because there's could only possibly be one person watching that movie at any given time.
Is it Mario Van Peebles?
Yes. He's like, I'm sorry, bro.
I really fucked this one up.
I had to look up what he has worked on. And it's weird how he's got like almost a 60-40 split of like 5-star and below shit and like 7.5 and up shit. But I think most of the like stuff that's well reviewed of his is just series like NCIS. Yeah. It's like, whatever. He did one episode. It probably sucked.
The CGI was terrible on the sharks.
Yeah. Why is there always a shark?
Peter, you mentioned that they're talking to the old guys at the end. It's like, I still hate the sharks. Like, I haven't come around on them. And just made me think. A long time ago, I worked with some Vietnam veterans, and a few of them mentioned having gone back to Vietnam much more recently as part of these, I don't know, kind of strange tourism experiences that did include some attempt at like a truth and reconciliation aspect in which they like met with, folks who'd survived on the other side and like walked through the jungles together and experienced each other as people, not military representatives. Anyway, strange thing. I'm not going to pass any judgment on how well that works. But what I'm trying to picture right now is how great it would be if you did that for these guys from the USS Indianapolis and sharks.
Just tossed them off
the
boat.
Well, I think you get them together with some marine biologists, some scuba outfits, some cages. You bring them back out to the Pacific. You lure in some sharks. You put them down there and then you have them learn a whole. But try to understand the sharks and where they're coming from. Be like, well, I understand. That's just its drive. Its biological drive. It did what it needed to do in that moment for its own survival. And I respect that.
Let's take this a step further. Let's do it off of Pearl Harbor. We'll get some Japanese soldiers as well. We'll put them in the water in a separate cage. And they can be writing signs back and forth to each other while sharks swim around them.
Healing. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think we just solved everything.
Yeah, you know, one of those old guys is going to bring a gun down there and just start popping off on sharks. He's like, I told you I don't like sharks. I
hate these fuckers.
I'm about to commit a hate crime.
Shark hate.
No, but then there's going to be blood in the water.
Yeah, and it'll bring more sharks and he'll kill them too.
Good. Yeah. Get all the sharks. Just keep getting blood.
Not a fan of sharks.
I'm curious what slur these guys, the racist against sharks, would come up with for sharks. Yeah.
Okay, so
I don't want to say any in case it's an actual slur for another group of people.
You can say one, and I'll just double check it.
No, I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut. It's
wise.
So they missed an incredible opportunity, and it just hit me now. When this movie ends, it should have just said Finn.
We're not going to get a better joke than that. This episode's over.
We have completed the episode. Now, we do have to do the quick performance review, but
They're fine.
Yeah. So usually we do like a matrix, good movie, good cage performance, bad movie, bad cage performance. Where does it fall on the matrix of that? Thoughts?
Well, I actually don't feel qualified to speak on cage performance. So I'm going to go with the alternate matrix of, good shark movie, bad shark movie. Good movie, bad movie, right? Which again are very distinct. And I will say a bad movie and unfortunately medium bad shark movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a guest say, I won't play your game. Here's my
here's an
amended. Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Nick?
Only I get to do what I want. Yeah, where do you get off?
Ooh, yeah. Claspers.
Yeah, I got to make sure my cameras are pointed right. I don't know. Okay, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. From all the shark film I haven't seen, I've seen Jaws. Good answer.
Yep. I think for me, it falls in like Cage's performance is fine. It's just they didn't give him enough to do because he's a real dude who is a serious guy in the military. It's like, or in the Navy.
That is still military.
Yeah. It's, what are you?
Water military.
Water military. It's like
water-based militarism.
So many of those Navy men could not swim.
Seamen.
Yeah, they were bad at it.
Yeah.
It seems like you should maybe learn.
Yeah. You'd think that'd be part of basic training.
To be fair, if your ship goes down in the ocean,
you're pretty fucked.
They do say that in this film. Yeah.
It's not much point in learning how to swim because where are you going to go?
Right. I mean, if you had your escort, you'd be in a different situation.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
pretty fucked. Sorry, dudes.
That's why you've got the hollow lifeboats, the net boats, and you just hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, while this movie was much more watchable than I assumed it would be, it's not that interesting. And Nicolas Cage doesn't really do anything in it.
No, I've probably got one more watch of this in my lifetime.
It's one more
than
that.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, I'll watch it with my dad or something.
Okay. I do feel like
because I have one of those. Ooh, shots fired.
Mean, you know my father was killed by a shark.
That comes up in a lot of shark movies.
Yeah.
Look, it was a retaliation killing. You know what your father did.
I know. I will say this movie did remind me partially of you and I talked about this briefly. Fucking Buffalo movie.
Oh, yeah. Butcher's Crossing.
And that I'm assuming the producers or director just like, hey, we have this shark footage. Can we just like make a movie and splice it in?
We also have a torpedo footage that we can add.
Anybody who just had that torpedo footage on hand and thought this is worth putting in a film.
Yeah, Van Peebles.
Made a mistake. Like he had to have just been like, oh, shit. It's Tuesday morning. I need a torpedo. See what we got. Just
that one's a chitin.
Yeah. Just floats a plastic bottle across some water and it's like, here we go.
Also, the whole thing with the chitin, like the only reason that comes up at a chitin is a man-powered torpedo, like a underwater kamikaze, which I didn't know about till this film.
Same.
Same.
But it comes up at the beginning of the movie. They show the Japanese sub fire one at a merchant vessel. Like it notices it's a merchant vessel as it's like coming upon it and like veers off.
Okay. So I missed that part in 1.75.
Yeah. So later on when they shoot down the Indianapolis, they don't fire a chitin. And I'm like, what was the point of explaining the chitin at all? And it's only so during the court martial hearing, they can be asked if the ship was hit by a chitin or just a regular torpedo.
And right. Did that justify the fact that he did not zigzag his ship as per protocol?
Serpentine pattern.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So it's a kind of a bad movie and a, lackluster performance. It's a C-.
I might give it a D+. C- is good.
C for Clasper.
Nice. Now it's a C+.
Because it's got two?
Yeah. All right, Aaron, any final thoughts on this one?
No.
Good.
What do you have in the chute for your next shark and whiskey party?
That's a great question. there's been a nice little bit of buzz. We're hoping it's not too much buzz about a movie called Under Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, I think, just put it out in the last week or two, a Netflix original. So certainly the caliber we're looking for.
Yes.
And some of it has gone a bit viral. Even just from the trailer, it appears that there's a strong motivation to keep this triathlon going in the water for kind of tourism purposes, even though there's a shark swimming in the Seine River in Paris.
Sounds like a cream situation.
It sure does. It sure does. Also, shark in an unusual place, right? Like swimming in a river in a major city. So off to a great start. I think we're almost certain to watch it unless we become concerned that too many of our audience already watched it on their own. Mm. Not normally something we have to worry about.
Okay, so you've inspired another question. Has there ever been a shark film where the sharks are in the canals of Venice and you have gondoliers like...
There has not been a shark film that has done that. But in 2012 and 2013, when this event was happening monthly, one of the attendees and I did write a serial piece of shark fiction.
Fuck yeah.
A were-shark in Venice.
An American were-shark?
And people helped us act it out as a little like pre-movie warm-up for
awesome.
8 to 10 events in a row. We wrote like a little 5-chapter. Set fully in the canals of Venice and with a teenage love triangle. But one of them turns out is a were-shark. So
who would play the badass silent gondolier? Who like
a silent gondolier? Like, he doesn't sing.
No, he's just quiet.
Gondolier.
He's not getting my money.
He's just quiet and like stoic the whole time, but like fist fights the shark.
Jason stays up.
That's what I was thinking.
He doesn't even use the pole.
No, fist fights.
Jesus, idiot. Bad gondolier.
Breaks the pole in two.
Yeah.
We do already know that Jason Statham is happy to be cast in 2 shark movies in just the last few years.
That's true.
Since he led both Meg movies.
So. Okay. I was wondering if they were 2 different franchises.
But... No. Anything you want to promote other than Shark and Whiskey?
No, that's most of my life.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you all for listening. These are silly offshoot episodes. We'll be back to kind of our regular programming and getting into the Slicksteen here soon.
As soon as that child can fend for itself.
Yeah, she's probably all right.
Yeah. 3 weeks is about the age where you can let them free roam, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They're holding up their head by now, right?
Yeah. Done. Easy.
At least put the 3-year-old sibling in charge of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cora will definitely not just push her and punch her face.
Well, no, we give Cora a knife and we explain to her the responsibility of knife ownership.
Mm, good.
And then our hands are clean.
And then we give.
Unlike hers.
Then we give the baby a gun.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
Just in case. It's a safety measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, you can find us on social media.
Please cut that.
You can find us on social media at @cage_match_pod. Or if you want to support us on Patreon, we are Cage Match Pod. Or Cage Match. We are Cage Match. We are Cage Match?
I am Cage Match.
Thank you to our supporters, our Sparkle Buddies, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, and Bill. And to our Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan. We really appreciate the support. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of hot dog related content, I was listening to the latest vlog from Keep It Classy, my favorite Australian funny folk. And Amber made the anecdote trying to, you know, say like a kitchenette is not... talking about a motel, like a kitchenette is not like a mini fridge and a bathroom sink, much like a hot dog isn't a dildo until I put it in my ass.
God. Speaking of things in holes, I put the placentas in the hole this morning.
Man, why you gotta keep bringing that shit up? And I do hope you washed your hands.
I did.
I appreciate that.
I'm just glad to be done with that placental hole for now.
Was it both of them?
Yeah.
You were just holding on to one for...
We had it for nearly 3 years in the freezer. Yeah, your face is how my face is about it, too.
I'm glad I'm divorced.
Well, it's kind of nice because we had our little hippie placental burial today. And Cora and Barrett are going to get backdoor baptized later today, so...
That's when you get baptized in the butt.
It's a bidet situation. Yeah.
The holy water cleanses you from the inside out,
baby. Yeah.